Paul. It is the Starship Procon Show with Anna DeBlanta. So yes. For another day of broadcast insolence.
So let me get something straight. Kim Kardashian is now a leading voice on justice reform in America.
Yeah.
And Dennis Rodman is on his way to help guide us to denuclearization talks in North Korea.
Yeah.
This is really all happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if Rodman and Kardashian get together? That'd be quite the power couple.
Watch
right
out.
There. Oh, Yeezy'd be very unpleased.
He would.
Yeah. I'll tell you that right now.
And the host of The Apprentice is the president.
Rodman Kardashian.
Throw that in there.
2020.
I think NBC should relaunch The Apprentice and just White House Edition and just that. I think it's a better way to do this. You should just do it as a show. He's doing it as a show anyway. We might as well be able to watch this, you know, every Tuesday night, don't you think? As he's making these decisions.
We are watching it.
If it wasn't real life, it'd be very entertaining.
Very funny.
Yeah. He's got a bunch of people that he's got 30 people at a table. He's going to pardon one of them.
Seems like they're
actually going to get rid of two today.
Right. They walk out past the secretary, you know, and they kind of wave. The secretary pretends like she's disinterested in them. I won't make eye contact with you.
Instead of you're fired, it'll be you're pardoned.
That's crazy.
New show. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
30 people apparently on his desk right now under consideration of being either pardoned or commuted, having their sentences commuted after the one today. Alice Marie Johnson served over 20 years.
Was she commuted? She was commuted, right?
And he's asking for a
commutation.
Yeah.
Oh, he's asking for a full pardon or commutation?
He's asking for a pardon is what it says.
What?
Here. She's been a model prisoner over the past few days. She's been granted clemency.
She still was a cocaine trafficker. I mean, I know she's a grandma and everything. But,
yeah, it was a nonviolent crime or first offense. They definitely feel as if she has served her time.
So a commutation could make sense there.
Yeah, which would commute her sentence to time served, and
right.
She's out and everything.
Yes.
It stands on her record as a conviction of the felony.
That is what happened. Her sentence was commuted.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
Yes.
That's what I was trying to get to. All right, so it's a commutation. Good, thank you. That's a pardon.
Now, of course, Blagojevich should ask for a pardon.
So he can run for governor again.
Right.
Because I think that would be his play. I think he would go immediately from pardon to the campaign trail
and
as a write-in candidate.
He might win.
I don't think so.
Right. Isn't that what you said, I don't know, how many months ago? 12, 13
No,
months
I didn't. I actually said he could win, and okay. He did, as you might recall.
Yes.
Yeah. And I showed you the map how he could have done it. I don't think that Rob Blagojevich could get elected dog catcher in Illinois, but it wouldn't stop him from trying because it'd be fundraising, because it'd be a way to start.
He wouldn't go for governor again. He'd go for senator. That's what he wanted to begin with.
No, because he said he could make himself that, but it only paid him $7,000 a year more. If you remember the tapes, mm-hmm. I listened to all the tapes because that's how I go to sleep at night. I don't listen to books on tape. I listen to Blago on tape.
There's a lot there.
And
thousands
of hours.
There are thousands of hours of tape to review there.
Yeah. I mean, when you're trying to doze off, there's nothing better than he and Patty doing the math on you know how much everybody's going to make. I liked that. So
it starts making you feel that that's real. I mean, if you were doubting it before, that Blagojevich may be pardoned or commuted by this president, it starts looking a little more like it could be around the corner.
So just try this. Just at night, try this. Put this in your headphones.
Okay.
Look, I don't want. I got to tell you, I don't want to be governor for the next 2 years. I want to get going. This has been two years where I'm doing the best I can trying to get through a brick wall and find ways around stuff. But it's like just screwing my family, and time is passing me by, and I'm stuck. It's no good. It's no good.
He doesn't want that governorship anymore.
Right,
he needs the next step up.
Yeah, but he needs to start back somewhere. Although I bet
all right, let's just stop this conversation.
I'll bet you that Rauner is. I'll bet you anything that he feels the exact same way. That if you could hear Rauner saying those exact words,
right?
But the thing is, this isn't going to bed tapes. This is like an encouragement tape. You know, when you listen in traffic on the way to work, you're like, all right, I can do anything. Get around these walls. I can ask for a promotion. I can.
Okay, right. Self help tapes.
I got to get moving. The whole world's passing me by, and I'm stuck in this job as governor now. Everybody's passing me by, and I'm stuck.
Who's passing you by?
Everybody. Everybody.
Great question.
I mean, we're struggling financially, okay? Her business got dried up because the Tribune's been writing about every one of her real estate clients. You know, I should have and look the other way in the landfill, and then my father-in-law would take care of us. I should have done that. Incidentally, he's making money on that thing against, you know, in violation of state law. I mean, you guys are telling me I just got to suck it up for 2 years and do nothing. Give this mother his senator, him, for nothing, him.
It is kind of motivating when you think of it as a son.
Yeah.
Motivating?
Yeah,
you guys think that's motivating?
I got to get this MF-er, the president-elect of the United States, his effing senator? What?
And all I should have done is turn dirty and help my father-in-law, and everything would have been
okay.
Yeah,
but it fires you up. That's...
Well, on the surface, maybe when you look at it that way, but on the surface, you get going. Get out there.
Yeah. Anyway, and let me tell you something. You want Valerie Jarrett to be the senator? You just wait till you find out what Rosie O'Donnell said about her. All right, hold on. I got things.
I got things.
Stand by, please. Ben Bradley.
Hello, good people.
Hi, Ben.
On the super celebrity satellite from Bradley Place.
We got to ask him about the top lieutenant of House Speaker Mike Madigan being ousted over this these harassment allegations.
Wow.
Ben, right. What about the top lieutenant of Mike Madigan being ousted?
Bro, I am so
I'll do
glad
it for
you asked.
Man, don't worry. Let me handle it for you.
Yeah. I mean, damage control, right? From a speaker accustomed to total control.
Absolutely.
Mike Madigan is not a guy who ever loses control of a situation, yet for months we've seen this kind of slow snag in the fabric of the cabal that he has created that leads the state. And it's somebody's kind of pulling on it, and accusation after accusation, none of them leveled directly at Mike Madigan, we should mention, but about the culture, not only within the political halls at the state capitol, but also within the precinct organization that he has captained and that gives him his power.
Well, and you saw this bubbling up from underneath the surface before when one of the women who had charges or allegations against another aide to Madigan felt as if she wasn't being taken seriously, that her claims were being moved around, and only after she wrote a letter that became public that she was taken seriously. And then you sort of saw a little bit more coming forward. You wonder if this is the end, or
drip, drip, drip. And tellingly, you remember that bipartisan moment we had at the governor's office just a couple of days ago when, for the first time, Rauner was actually able to sign an allegedly balanced budget, and there were Democratic lawmakers surrounding him and Republican lawmakers. Madigan wasn't there, but people said, hey, look at this, a rare bipartisan moment.
Mm-hmm.
Already, Rauner is out with a statement basically telling people, hey, you got any more dirt on Madigan or his people?
Yeah.
I will protect you. Come forward.
Yeah. I think this is one of those moments. I have never been a vote all the bums out kind of guy, because I just think that there are people.
Not even the judges?
Yeah, especially not the judges.
My dad used to always tell me, vote them all out.
Yeah, no. Especially
then again, he spent about 8 years in divorce courts.
Yeah,
that'll color your judgment a little bit.
I got enough problems, and I'm not going to use his advice. But I just don't understand how Illinois is going to be able to pull out of this morass unless you have people who are going to responsibly fix this problem and not add to it. And there does have to be a shared sacrifice by all the people, by all the forces of revenue loss in the state of Illinois. I'm being kind about that, mm-hmm. but I mean, there are corrupt forces down there. There are unions in that. I'm not saying that unions are corrupt. I'm a union member myself, but I'm saying that there are unions down there that are protecting
only.
Oh, I understand, but they are protecting the long term betterment of their people as they see it. The problem is that the state is going broke. It's not going to be able to meet these requirements. And it's not the fault necessarily of any individual union. It is the fault of lawmakers who have been giving everybody exactly what they want because they're getting in return, given the fact that Illinois has the loosest of campaign rules, or did until fairly recently, the loosest of campaign rules in the world, not alone the United States, right? I mean, Libya had better campaign rules than Illinois.
Are you proposing the Libya solution here in Illinois?
That's what I'm
Let's
doing.
Put that forward.
Yes, that's...
No.
That's a great point. And it from purely, maybe I'm cynical here, but from purely a political power vantage point, what we're seeing in terms of Madigan responding to these, you know, drip of misconduct charges from his lieutenants and Rauner's reaction to it is a power play, right? You know, Rauner feels that he can't make any of the changes that he thinks are necessary to right the financial ship as long as Madigan is in power. Madigan and Democrats have kind of nipped around the edges of the pension problems and, you know, made some changes, but none that will find a way to pay for the huge hole.
Ben, I understand.
Was I getting too cerebral for you?
Yes. Let me just tell you what the problem in Illinois is. And as a lifelong Illinoisan, Illinois is in crisis at the moment. Illinois has a major budget problem. It's not going to be able to figure it out. Chicago has a budget problem that is related in part to Chicago's own exuberance in spending and you know, trouble finding ways to balance this. But Illinois downstate lawmakers hate Chicago because they think it's a big drain on the state. Well, Chicago is the economic driver for the state of Illinois. Were it not for Chicago, this would be Mississippi, maybe Arkansas. So I think they've got to really rethink how this whole thing works, and we got to have new eyes on this problem, and we got to have people who are not in the bag, that have been not in the bag for 30 frickin' years.
And if you had let me finish my long soliloquy, it would have been...
Hello, passion, Ben!
That's what we see going on here. It's not outrage, I hate to say it, over, you know, sexual misconduct charges. It's blood in the water, right? Madigan's position, for the first time, has been weakened. I mean, Rauner spent millions and millions of dollars trying to weaken him every election cycle since he took office.
Right.
And he's had very limited effect. This is the first time we've seen Lou Lang, we've seen now Tim Mapes, Madigan's chief of staff, all go down. And this is kind of the first time that the SS Madigan has hit troubled waters.
And I look at it far beyond the Rauner versus Madigan thing for some of the reasons you're citing. But number one, it just never seems to make sense in a democracy to have such a consolidation of power, as we all know Madigan has had. You can like him very much. You can even agree with all of his policies and still understand that for one person to have that kind of power does not work in the best interest of the people or democracy.
He and I talked about that once. It was a brief conversation, but he
brought that up.
You know, I asked him about that, and you know, his take, Anna, would be he is subject to more elections than anyone else in government.
But he has 17,000 people that have to vote for him, and yet he has the power of the entire state to rule over.
It's a flawed statement. He says, you know, he's got to get elected in his district. Well, runs ringers and controls everything there.
He hands out jobs like candy.
He runs two people with the exact same name.
Yes.
Right? So that he waters everything down.
Right.
I mean, come on.
And then he surrounds himself with these guys.
Speaker by the people whose campaigns he funds.
Yeah.
How do we think that's going to work?
Right. There are entrenched interests in this, and some of them are labor interests, and some of them are corporate interests, and some of them are just, you know, other, you know, the mass accumulation of the corruption class, the cream of the top of the corruption class in Illinois that funds this whole system. We've been doing this a long time. I know some of these people. I break bread with some of these people. I go to their their christenings and their bar mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm.
I know them, and they
know you
do. And they know
how
what
come you're the only guy without a concrete contract.
What are you doing at radio? Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Do you have
they
some
know.
Land we don't
it's,
know about?
Well, I don't know how
it
to tell you this.
Got
if you're
to
that
stop.
Close, you should have you should be a construction company.
I know, but I'm not. I'm
and you
an
should change.
Guy.
You should change to be female, your gender, and then it would even be work more in your favor.
I'm a minority woman business right now.
Only from an emotional sense.
Yes, right, because I feel it now. Hashtag I feel it now. Let me tell you something. I know who these people are. They know who they are. It is time for everybody. If you want to stop the exodus from Chicago and from the state of Illinois and clean up the issues that really are important to the people of Illinois to make sure that, because we're going to get killed. We're going to get killed here in taxation with the new federal system, right? So we got to figure out what we're going to do, and we have to protect our own here. We are not just Chicagoans. We are Illinoisans, and Illinois needs to be seen as one item. We got to pull ourselves together, put aside all this partisan stuff. The acrimony in the politics in this state, obviously the acrimony in politics is what gets people elected right now, but we are dying here, people. Finally, we are at a point where we have a real issue that we have to contend with.
No question.
And we've got to do it right now. And so I want Bruce Rauner and Mike Madigan and all the rest of them. I want new eyes on the problem here.
So, Roe,
I don't want nobody sent.
You to just step down. Mr. Madigan, could you, Mr. Rauner?
It's time to go. It's time to retire, Mr. Madigan. Your daughter's out of the business.
Right.
She knows those people, too, by the way.
Yeah, she gave up. She was waiting so long. Yeah. She gave up.
I think we lost the wrong Madigan.
All right.
We need a little, like a Yankee Doodle Dandy playing behind you.
We need something.
I'm
going to tell you something. We need somebody to step up and do the right thing. And actually, we need all those leads. We need those business leaders and labor leaders. I don't want to screw the union members in Illinois. I don't want to do that at all. But what I want to do is I want to be able to make it possible for Illinois to pay its bills so it can do the other things that the state of Illinois has to do. And by the way, I also don't want all the money that goes to these other projects and that goes to, you know, whether it is, you know, building of roads or building of other things where there's money that gets wasted. There's other states doing it for less.
Right.
How is that possible?
30% of our budget's currently going for pensions and debt relief, just paying off our debt.
Right.
Think about that for a second.
I have a friend of mine who's a cop who is considering retiring, and he's like, well, why wouldn't I? I will make more money retired.
Yeah, and that's what they're
then
right.
working.
Yeah. And moving to Tennessee, right? When he retires. I mean, that's going to be the deal. All right, listen, I have to go.
I'm up against it.
I'm sorry. I'm exhausted. I'm upset. A.B. Stoddard's going to join it, and then we're going to talk about all the raft of other things. Imagine. Now I got to get upset about that stuff. This is crazy.
Have fun, Anna. I wish I could stay.
Oh, thanks, Ben. Just wind him up. Gee.
All right. I got to go. Thank you. All right, it's Roe Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. I'm trying to remain calm today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having such trouble with it. I really am. Because I started off nicely today. A.B. Stoddard is joining us, mm-hmm. and you know her, and you love her.
Yes.
From her many, many television appearances, from her many, many writings
and columns
throughout the many, many years. And not many, many. A few years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
AB, don't get all upset. Anyway, the point is this. I was all excited about, you know, it's a Wednesday. It's a beautiful day. It's sunny outside, warm in Chicago. And then we started talking about state politics and this crazy thing that's happening down in Springfield with AB. I know you're not familiar with this, but Mike Madigan, who's the big, you know, mocker in Illinois politics, has been, you know, tough guy for years and years and years, a state representative, and he's having trouble with his staff. And it's time for a change in Illinois because Illinois is going broke and people are leaving, and it's a scary moment for the state. And I thought, and I got all exercised about this, and now we're going to talk to you, and you're going to drive me over the top. I'm going to just have to start drinking. I think I don't know what to do here.
I sort of was wondering why you called me. Uh-huh. Why me? You weren't having a calm day already.
and now it's going to get worse, isn't it? So 30, if this is kind of an interesting thing. I wanted, the great irony of this is that George Papadopoulos just walked right by our studio.
And I went running after him to try to see if we could get him on the radio. And he went to go connect with his fiancée, I believe. Or wife.
Did they get married? I think they might have gotten married.
And yes, they got married.
Okay.
I was just listening to her on Jake Tapper.
Yeah.
She was
making the case for the pardon.
Right.
It's crazy.
So that's where she was, across the street at CNN then. She was just on right now.
Oh, that's
so right. Across the plaza. And so he's going over to pick her up. He's here with her. And I'm thinking there, and so there's 30 pardons coming our way here, we're told, right? Is that it?
Yep.
That'll be one of them then.
Pardon-palooza.
What is, if he pardons, let me just ask you this question. I hope George walks by, hears this, and stops in, because I would love to get his take on this. What is the political ramification of Donald Trump pardoning any of the people involved in his campaign at this point, Papadopoulos or Manafort or, you know, any of them?
Well, I think it will depend who it is. I mean, right, and what they've been, what they've pleaded to, or what they've, I mean, I, you know, how much, how culpable they really are.
Do you think he'll start small to test it? Like the guy that just got out of jail, like there was a guy that went away for 45 days or whatever.
I mean, I don't think Donald Trump cares about the optics of any of this. He's basically said he can shut an investigation down, that he loathes his attorney general for not recusing himself, from this investigation because he was supposed to shut it down. He has asked Mitch McConnell, the majority leader in the Senate, why people are not protecting him more from the Russia probes that are going on in Congress, it's at least still some of them. He has been very open about the fact he can pardon himself, he can shut an inquiry down, he can't be indicted, and he's really making the case, very hard through Rudy Giuliani and through all these pardons that he can do whatever he wants, and he's really working hard to maintain the intimidation among congressional Republicans that already is there, into sort of holding the line and not even thinking of impeachment, no matter what comes down, because what he will say to them is that they can't impeach him because everything that Mueller finds, if it's impeachable, is BS and hooey. And he doesn't care that Trey Gowdy, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, who said 10 days ago, and then faced the snarling, wild, fanged squad of tribalists who came after him, who used to love him when he was running the Benghazi probe, for saying so, that there was really nothing to Spygate. There was no spy. He went to all these briefings. He's seen more intelligence than, you know, these people who are in the pundit class sticking up for Donald Trump and people who work for Breitbart, and there was no problem. And it was backed up today by Senator Burr, who's run the Senate Intel Committee probe. It was backed up by House Speaker Ryan, and Trump doesn't care, and his allies don't care, and in the pro-Trump media they won't care, because he will say that that he can't be impeached because any findings that would be quote unquote impeachable, credible findings that would normally warrant impeachment, won't be credible. And this pardon thing just makes him feel good. It's absolute power. It's the kind of power he wanted. He thought when he got to this job that he could exercise far more power than he gets to under his constitutional right as the president of the United States.
Right.
To exercise. That's frustrated him because he would read books about some other presidency and thought it was some other job that he was after. And so I genuinely believe that they're making the case through all these memos and Rudy's TV appearances. Now he's saying today in Israel that the Mueller team is going to frame the president, who is innocent. They're making the case that the only thing you can do to wrap his knuckles is impeach him, and we dare you, because no matter what they come up with, congressional Republicans, McConnell, Ryan, all of you, you can't touch this guy. The voters are behind him. Everything is BS. If it comes out of the DOJ, nothing is to be believed, except if it comes from okay. Rudy Giuliani or Donald Trump's mouth.
All right. So, do you notice how calm I am?
Very.
Did you notice that?
Surprisingly.
I took everything you just said mm-hmm. there, and I was breathing in my nose, out my mouth. I was doing mm-hmm. all the things I was supposed to do to maintain.
I can smell the patchouli from here.
Yeah. All right. That's right. Right now I'm eating a gummy bear. I'm not sure what's in it.
Right.
I don't understand where we are in America more today than I even did a week ago or 2 weeks ago, because you've had guys like Trey Gowdy and today Paul Ryan, both Republican congressmen, and one of them being the Speaker of the House, you decide which one, coming out and disagreeing with the president about his assertion that the FBI was inserted a spy in his campaign and all of that stuff. And he's saying, and they're all saying that's really not true. But these guys are not running for re-election. The
right.
people who are running for re-election are
terrified
either
of President Trump.
Right, they're either remaining silent or they are colluding with him. I'm going to use a term of art of the last 2 years.
Yeah,
and they are like they're going to be like Nunez and all the rest of them. They're like, yeah, no, he's our guy. And voters, Republican primary voters, are punishing people who are anti-Trump.
Yes, so, they are. And Margot Robbie in Alabama last night couldn't make it over the line. She faces a runoff because she once backed away from him in late 2016 after the Access Hollywood tape. Woohoo!
She stood up for women after the Access Hollywood tape, and now she's being punished for that. And they have a Democrat who's a pro-Trump Democrat who's going to be running against her. What the hell is that? I don't even.
Alabama.
I know. But this is true.
This is an amazing. I think that what your listeners need to know is that the party has been distilled down to its purest, fiercest partisans because a lot of Republicans left the party, which is why you don't see, you know, sort of more diluted approval for Trump. If Republicans who are anti-Trump didn't like George Will were still in the party, you'd see a lower approval rating, but they left, and so it's really purified his approval rating.
There's an interesting story, too, that that there's some newspapers in Pennsylvania, a string of newspapers in Pennsylvania that's dropping a political cartoonist because he's got anti-Trump cartoons.
Hmm.
I mean, everybody has to make a decision here. You know, and then that little production yesterday with the president and the band, you know, playing God Bless America and the Star Spangled Banner and all of that, and then, you know, singing along mightily, it's like it harkens to a very different time. I'm a patriot. I know I'm a patriot. I know what I stand for. I know what I've done. I know what I know what I have done. To support the United States of America, and the Constitution of the United States of America. I don't understand how we have gotten here to this moment at this. I mean, what the hell are we doing?
I don't either because Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked yesterday if the baker who prevailed in a Supreme Court decision this week about his religious freedom in the case of, you know, whether in the Colorado case, he didn't want to make a customized cake as an expression of his art for the gay couple. This has been going on, through the system for years. Mm-hmm. He had a protected right of speech, but freedom of religion constitutionally protected. But that if you kneel in the anthem, which none of the Philly Eagles have done, and you are protesting police brutality, which has nothing to do with the national anthem and on, is that protected? And basically the White House is like, no, we don't really think so. And it really is, Trump has very much been open with the fact that he has authoritarian impulses.
But do I get to disagree with my president? Do I get to disagree with my president and still be an American and a patriot? That's the question that we all have to ask ourselves now.
That's where we are. That's really, for years it was, are you a real American or an unreal American? And now it's, you can't be patriotic unless you agree with President Trump.
Well, you also couldn't be a Republican if you didn't agree lockstep with, you know, you were a rhino if you didn't agree lockstep with, you know, whether it was Limbaugh or Hannity or, you know, whatever the,
right,
you know,
right,
or the think
right.
tank of the day or whatever it was. So I don't know. I just don't like the tone. I don't like it. I have a United States of America driver's license and passport, and I'm going to use it. I'm going to stay here in the United States and fight the good fight. And AB, we're going to have to go. Otherwise, the sponsors are going to kill us. And I'm more partisan to them than I am anybody else, I suppose.
But you still are nice and calm.
I think that's a good course to take.
Thank you very much.
Keep the show on. It'll help the country stick around a few more months.
Yes. Self-care, I think, is the way I'm going to look at this right now. Thank you, AB.
Thanks AB.
For having me.
All right. Bye. Oh, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Go, 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 shorty. It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a Cardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give up, cause that's your birthday. You'll find me in the club, bottle full of bourbon.
Oh, my gosh.
I gotta get you some Bacardi, Ro.
Is this someone's birthday?
Happy birthday.
Someone's birthday, but our boss, Todd Manley, just came in with a big fat chocolate cake that looks delicious.
Oh, I thought you were going to say check.
Oh, well, that would have been nice too. I didn't see. There might have been a little something in the card. You might want to shake it out and see.
Was there? I didn't get a card.
Oh, you will.
Where's my card?
Cake's more important.
All right.
cake's the part that counts.
Maybe there's like a gold coin in that cake. Like, you get
eat it
at
all.
Oh, like, yeah. I'm just going to stick my hand in it and move my way through it. Tom Skilling, brought to us by Permaseal Basement Systems. Uh-huh. Isn't that what you would do, Tom?
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. Go, Tom.
He's a crooner.
To you.
I love it. You have a great voice.
Oh,
you almost sound like Marilyn Monroe.
I'll tell you, Lou Rawls or anybody else would tell it I am not. But I,
Happy birthday, Ro.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
So
I made another one.
How old are you?
Way too old. Way too old. They did a. They literally did a cake.
A chocolate cake. Ooh,
beautiful chocolate cake.
It looks good.
They only put one unicorn candle on this one. At Channel 7 today, they gave me a cake that had that literally set off a fire alarm. There was like 16 different fire pieces of equipment that showed up.
Yeah.
You know what? It's weird how quickly one ages now.
I know.
I'm still in the demo, as we like to say in radio and television.
But you know, the nice thing is, with so many people from our Chicago Fire Department responding, you were able to share the happiness, you know, as slices of cake.
Yeah.
So... Well,
can I tell you a story that happened to me last night?
Yeah.
So I went out to dinner last night with my mom and my daughter.
Yes.
For your birthday?
For my birthday.
How nice.
Yes, as part of the birthday celebration thing. I got another,
show's taking you out tomorrow.
Show's taking me out tomorrow. I got another sort of family thing tonight.
You're celebrating the week long. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the month long like you. But I took them out. My daughter paid the bill last night at dinner.
Wow.
Oh, gosh. So that kind of made you feel old? Is that what happened?
Oh, my God. It was, I didn't know what to do. All of a sudden, you know,
she's your grown-up
daughter.
Now,
that really makes you feel old, doesn't it?
First of all, she dropped her platinum card on the table.
Oh, gee.
Wow.
Hello.
As the waiter came by, and he just took it. And I'm like, first of all, why do you, A, have a platinum card?
Yeah, right.
Work is going very well for her.
That's good.
And it was like the first time. And I'm like, oh, my God, that is so weird.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling.
It
is. She's your daughter.
Cool.
You're her daddy.
It's very nice. You know you've arrived when your daughter has the platinum card and you don't even have one yet.
Yeah, they're taking it away from me.
I know.
Yeah.
Right. That's it.
You're just getting revoked.
Now, let me act like Kevin here, because Kevin always gets into the food questions. What sort of cuisine was part of the celebration last night? Was it
That was just our family. We went to Gibson's.
Oh, very nice.
Did you have the planked whitefish?
Yes. Did have the planked whitefish.
Yes.
The best.
Oh,
ooh.
My gosh.
I got to just say, I don't know how this happens, but they got the best mashed potatoes. They're like
something about them.
Like,
I don't even eat them usually, but there I do.
Oh.
Something about them. Garlic? I don't know. Butter?
No. They're not. I don't think there's garlic. It's just, it's like more butter than we probably would like to acknowledge.
That's true. You just don't ask.
Yeah.
Is there butter in this?
Don't ever ask that
don't
at a restaurant.
Ever.
No.
Well, anyway. We're taking you out tomorrow.
Yes.
And we're expecting you to pay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We expect to see your platinum card. So hopefully.
I'm going to invite my daughter tomorrow.
Does she want to come?
Yeah.
Look, Ro, I'll take you out and I'll pay.
What a sweetheart.
I know.
Well,
it'll be on me.
Tomorrow.
Or maybe we can go to a little Bucharest and then no one has to pay.
There's a thought.
Yeah. Yeah, last year we were in this predicament as well, so we called up all the way to the top of the ladder of Tribune Meter. Like, hey, boss, what are you doing tonight?
That's right.
Oh, remember that? And we spent accordingly.
Yeah, we had
Larry worked. That was a big night.
If one boss won't pay for you, call the other boss. And
keep going up the ladder, and that's what we did. Yeah. And it was a very nice night, as I recall. Yeah.
Well, that is really Gibson's is fantastic.
It really is.
We had a thing years ago for Allison Payne's birthday party. I remember years ago, that was really nice. The whole group got together. Well, Ro, happy birthday
to you.
Tom. That's very nice. So it's May 11th.
It's June 6th.
June
6th. I'm sorry.
We recorded this. I'm sorry. We recorded this a month ago, and now we're just presenting it.
I'm sorry. I looked down here, and it had May on this piece of paper.
You are Tom Skilling.
I know.
You got to know what the date is.
I know. Tell me about it.
The month right.
You know, I don't know. Aging process is taking its toll on me,
too. Totally. All right. So I get home last night, and I'm like, I still have this kind of moment.
Yeah.
You know, we had a little later dinner, and then, ate, and I'm having this moment where I'm trying to emotionally wrap myself around what had just happened.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those changes. I remember the first time I bought my parents dinner.
Yeah.
And were they okay with it?
Okay with it. They demanded it. I will say this, that that was 30 years ago, and mm-hmm. I have not stopped paying for dinner for them in these 30 years.
Nice. That's nice of you.
Yeah, not always. And so the funny thing is that I don't anticipate that will happen, but it was just such a moment. It was like I couldn't, because she's all grown up. She just signed a contract to she's an artist, and yeah. she just signed a contract to illustrate a book. And
well,
she's
that's
very talented.
All this stuff.
Yes.
And I'm like, and I just was like, oh my God, where and what happens at these moments is you realize how old you are.
I know.
Because
isn't that the truth?
It's like, I don't feel 54, and yet I am.
Uh-huh. Right.
I don't sound 54. I sound like a whining, like, 22-year-old, uh-huh. I think, sometimes.
Maybe teenager.
Yeah, maybe teenager.
On some days.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a marvelous moment, isn't it? When you see your daughter married, when kids go off to college and all.
My daughter just graduated from kindergarten yesterday. I just about lost it. I literally, I'm like, why? Why? Yeah.
There you go.
She's doing it. She's going to kindergarten. She's going to be the same school, first grade. And
yeah.
It's just down the hall. And
Anna?
She was fine. She's like, Mama, everyone's acting like it's a big deal.
Well,
like, Anna, it is. Okay, because you're not a baby anymore.
There are more things like this to come, Anna. This is but the first step. But how cool is that?
I just want to tell you this, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
You do?
Like it was
and did
yesterday.
You cry? Did you cry?
Yeah.
I was very emotional.
And I can look at her graduation from that.
Yeah.
From kindergarten, from fifth grade, from eighth grade, from high school, from college, to getting married. And I'm like, and they're all one thing. And it's like it all happened in the last week. And now I'm thinking, how much time will I perceive to have left? That's the part that's really freaking me out. It's all happening. And it's like a 30-year span.
Yes.
That I remember, like, because, you know, this is, she'll be 30 this year. And I'm like, oh my God.
How did that happen?
How do I have a 30-year-old child?
I know. Isn't it funny? You know, at times you look back on what's gone by, and it seems like so much time has passed. And then there are other moments like this where you think, wow, this is flying by fast.
Now, how do we stop this? How do we slow it down?
I don't think there's any way to do it, bro. I think you're facing something that every human being that's walked this planet has gone through.
All right.
Enjoy the moments.
Exciting.
That's what
exactly.
you have to do. Enjoy them.
I think
in the moment.
I think if you live them sober, they go a lot. They're much
you remember
slower.
More.
Yeah, they're much slower. I'm thinking about
what happened last night?
Yeah, that's uh-huh. I don't know.
Well, I've got but if you can't remember, it didn't happen. So.
Yeah. You know, I tried that as an excuse, and I would say that a number of judges in my life have said that, no, that is not correct. That is not correct. It did actually happen if you do not remember.
By the way, Rose, some good news. Yeah. Everything you eat on your birthday evening has no calories in it.
Well, isn't that great?
Yeah.
What about if you're participating in a birthday cake?
Pile it on and put some butter on the mashed potatoes on top of it, and then the gravy.
I might have had the Chicago cut along. We were all splitting the food, so. So the fish with their ribeye.
Well, that's
there.
Very healthy.
Yeah, and then the strawberry shortcake.
Oh,
it's
cake.
Huge.
Oh, God,
all their cakes
it's the
are
best though.
Delish.
All that whipped cream.
Yeah.
Your horoscope for today. Your birthday horoscope. You are playful, sweet, charming, and can be very skilled at selling pretty much anything.
Wow.
You have a great love of beauty and pleasure, and while you can be fickle, you're not irresponsible.
See, that kind of hits the target.
You love telling stories and sharing jokes.
Yeah.
Personal freedom is essential in your relations.
Oh my God.
And you have a very progressive view of relationships in general.
Oh dear God.
Wow.
Did I write that?
Did someone forward this to me from you? No. Yes. Sandra Bernhard shares your birthday, Bjorn Borg, and Amanda Pace.
Oh.
Famous people.
Bjorn Borg.
Yeah.
Bjorn Borg.
Yeah.
When I was a kid,
when I would read the ink column, they would always have birthdays in the ink column. I'd look at who else had it. And Bjorn Borg was always the big one. And I'm like,
Come on.
All right, let me just ask Kevin. Do you know who Bjorn Borg is?
Tennis, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Excellent.
With the hair and the
sports.
Yeah.
How old is Bjorn right now?
He would be
67 or
68. Wow. Now that makes us feel old right there.
It does. He is, he's 62.
62.
Wow.
All right.
Still looks good.
11 grand slam titles. No big deal.
Kevin, did I ask the right question for you there?
You did. I was actually...
I know.
Ro eats out like about 6 days a week.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants me to say that, but I'm always curious because I'm always looking for the next spot.
I know you are.
And Ro, Ro and Anna. Like,
well, that's a regular for me. They know. It's like Cheers.
That's like your backyard.
Yeah.
You just walk right in.
Yeah. It's like what Harry Carey's is like my bedroom, and that's like my living room.
It's like party room in the dining room.
Yeah, party room in the dining room. That's how it goes. But anyway. All right. Well, okay. Now you dialed up some. And now Kevin and I are playing tomorrow morning in the Jared Payton golf outing for the Payton Foundation.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
Along
guys.
With Joe Donlan and Dan Rohn.
Wow. You've got
that's
quite
nice foursome.
Quite a lineup there. The whole.
Rohn's a ringer.
Gosh.
Says he's
we're
going to
win this thing like there's no tomorrow.
I think we got a shot.
What's the weather going to be like tomorrow?
It looks pretty good. No, it really does. It ought to be partly sunny. Might be an early shower and a spot or two. There might be a thunder shower that pops in the afternoon, but it'll be mainly south and west of us. You're playing close to the city here?
That's what we're playing is south and west of us.
Yeah, south and west. Yeah, south and west. Now, well, actually, it's ruffled feathers, right? So, I mean, we could say that.
I mean, I'm talking about Marseilles and Kankakee and areas like that. So,
not quite that far. It's gonna, you know, it's Lamont-ish.
Oh, no, I think you're in great shape. Ought to be kind of nice.
I'm not in great shape, Tom. 80. I can tell you that right now. But it's going to be, so it's going to be 80 and it's going to be.
Yeah, it'll be 80. It'll be, you know, 70s by the water. But, you know, you're inland a little ways in Lamont. Should be very nice. Partly sunny. Great day for golf.
Beautiful. There we go.
Yeah.
All right. We're planning on destroying the competition, even though it's for charity. We're very competitive.
Well, in the spirit of the event.
Talking
I think that's
everyone.
Really nice of you. I didn't realize Joe was a golfer. I knew Dan was.
We knew Joe could break dance, but we hadn't heard about his golfing skills yet.
And you know, he was quite a hockey player, I guess, at one time.
Played college hockey.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a really impressive guy.
I mean,
the one thing I will say about the Joe Donlan, who the new principal anchor at Channel 9, the evening, you know, he's got all the shows. The man works almost as hard as Skilling.
And let me tell you something. He is genuinely nice.
What a great guy.
He is.
He really is.
He really is.
You know, it's tough following a legend.
It always is.
Oh, yeah.
And he's stepped in and he's got a
terrific.
Great attitude and he's great at what he does. Totally fit right in, fits like a glove into the Channel 9 life.
You know what's amazing to me is somebody comes in, because, of course, Joe was kind of from this area. He went to Marquette, and he's familiar with the area. But, you know, to come in here and get all the pronunciations of all the towns correct, and that gives you away in a second if you mispronounce the name of a town. He hasn't missed one pronunciation, even the ones that you could forgive him for. And I remember that about Ron Majors when he started. It's just amazing. The guy was so briefed on what was going on in the area. And Joe is the same way.
A good comparison, actually. I think that those are very similar guys.
Yeah.
And I always like to tell the guys when they come to town, as you know, Anna and everybody who's from here, you're from here.
Yeah.
Everybody who's from here knows this, that there are certain things we just do not pronounce the way that they are written.
No.
Yep.
Right? Desplaines is one that always comes to mind.
Palina.
Palina, Melvina, and Lunt is the way you have to remember that.
and then there's the Goshi.
It's not Joliet, it's Joliet. Yeah. And it's Hobart, Indiana, not Hobart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the worst when they go, and the 4600 Black and North Palina.
You're like, no! I can't hear that.
Oh, the worst!
I don't know why. It just hurts the ear. But,
yeah.
I know.
He'll get it. He's going to get everything.
I know.
All right. So, anyway.
It's raining now outside the studio.
Yes, there are some thunderstorms roaming the area now, and a couple may pop toward morning. If you find one or two in the area in the morning, don't worry, because those ought to be exiting fast, and then the other little bubble-up things.
Oh, I'm scared already.
Take
Look
place in the afternoon. No, don't be frightened. What time does it start? The game?
Oh God, it's like at dawn. I mean, it's like we're raiding France or something. It's like so crazy.
Well, there may be an early shower in spots. That'll settle south. I thought it was a little later than
no,
that.
No, it's we're in the early shotgun.
I still think it's not a total.
We're winning
disaster.
This thing though. I want you to root for Team WGN Radio and Television tomorrow.
I will.
In this.
Oh, so you guys are all playing together against somebody else.
We're a team, yeah.
I see.
The four of us are
And Jared is, I bet he's formidable on the links, too.
I bet he is. I would guess.
Yeah. There's another nice guy.
The best.
He really is.
Yeah.
You know,
whole family's great.
Famous family, isn't it the truth?
Really amazing people.
I know.
All right, Tom, we will see you tomorrow.
Ro,
we'll report in.
Happy birthday
Thank
to you,
my friend.
Anna, good to talk to you.
You too, Tom.
And happy Wednesday, guys. And you too, Kevin.
Thanks, Tom.
And Violetta.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Bye, guys. I feel like John Boy
least,
saying goodnight to everybody.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. All right, thank you very much.
See you
Appreciate
guys.
It. Nice meeting all of you. Well, we hope not too wild. John Dooley has just stepped into the studio. You know him. You love him. He's a track announcer at Arlington Park. Mm-hmm. And the 150th running of the Belmont Stakes is going to be happening this weekend as part of the Triple Crown. And it's going to be a big weekend at Arlington, a slightly larger weekend at Belmont in New York, in Elmont, New York.
Sure.
But this is the opportunity for the second time we could have a Triple Crown winner in the last three attempts.
Yeah, American Farrell, of course.
Right. I got to meet one of American Farrell's babies last weekend.
That's pretty
two
cool.
Weekends ago in Lexington. He's only got 200 of them right on the ground right now, one-year-old. And he's got some new foals that are dropping right now.
Are you buying
about
one?
100? No, actually, our race partnership has got Mr. Ron Majors, the lead advocate for that, or lead partner. Although there's an argument between who's the lead, but the other guy doesn't want to be mentioned. They have a couple of them. I don't have anything to do with it, but they have two American Pharoah little babies that they hope to turn into cash. Now, yeah. And American Pharoah, interestingly, just think about this for a second. American Pharoah wins a Triple Crown. Then they race American Pharoah again mm-hmm. in New York, right, at the Travers Stakes, mm-hmm. and then at the Breeders' Cup. Loses the Travers, wins the Breeders' Cup. Not loses, but you know what I mean. Didn't win.
Mm-hmm. Does a horse ever, a loser.
Hey, listen, as long as they're as long as they're in the top five, you're not a loser. The point is that arguably the greatest horse of this century so far would be American Pharoah. And that's why they're charging American Pharoah, the girls that go to American Pharoah to have babies with him,
mm-hmm.
the broodmares, $100,000.
So they make more money in the breeding part of their career than the racing?
I think by a factor of about 100,000 to one.
Yeah, there's a lot of money to be made out at stud. So
yes,
and American Pharoah is
would be
the stud,
top stud. Yeah, I would think
American Pharoah. I think in the first year it was $10 million in stud fees, about right. It was about 100,000 a throw and about 100. And then maybe there were 150 in his book, as they call it. I like that. In his book.
He has a book?
That's what they call it.
Does he have a bookie as well?
That's what they call it. It's the book. It's the calendar where you bring the broodmare to American Pharoah and he goes out, you know, into the breeding shed, does his business, walks away. A couple hours later, another one shows up, does his business, walks away. It is the most amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, if you ever have a chance to get down to like Louisville, Lexington, horse country and to see that process.
Oh God.
It's really?
It's
just
amazing. We're seeing the process. I've seen the process.
I'd like to see Louisville and some of those stables and the rolling fields.
Yeah, Lexington is really where all that action is.
Lexington.
It's Lexington and it's gorgeous.
Well, I'm looking at Justify right now. It says career earnings about $3 million. So it doesn't, I guess I would think it would be more than that for some reason.
Well, he's only started, five times. Mm-hmm. So
that's a big number. For any horse ever in the history of a horse.
This horse is on his way potentially for a Triple Crown, it seems like.
And Anna, you missed the last time I was on the air just before the Kentucky Derby with Roe and Richard talking about the fact this horse didn't even start as a juvenile. So he's kind of bucked that trend. That was out the window. And now you've got a horse vying to join American Pharoah.
His only run as a three-year-old. His only run since the first of this year, right? Mm-hmm. I think the first race is in February.
Mm-hmm. February 18th of this year.
First race at Santa Anita. Has not lost a race. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they will. If he wins the Triple Crown, I don't know if they will take him to Travers or to the, which is the the big summer race for horses, or to the
Stud Farm.
No, or the Breeders' Cup. I mean, they may be for the Breeders' Cup. They may want him to win that. Or would you just send him out to stud?
An undefeated Triple Crown winner. I mean, again, getting back to your stud point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much is that worth to the owners and potential breeders? I mean, obviously, there's been talks about it.
Yeah.
So it'll be the ultimate conundrum, but Saturday comes first. Saturday comes first.
Yeah. I've already put that in the books.
For Justify?
For Justify. I think Justify is going to
win. I think so, too.
Have we started to see the what are they called? Foals? The children of American Pharaoh start to race already?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
They're 1 year. They're yearlings right now. They'll start going into training this fall, and some of them will start coming out as two-year-olds next like in January, February.
You'll see them racing, whether it's in New York or California and Kentucky, but obviously a lot of people in horse racing with an interest to see those sons of and daughters of American Pharaoh.
Fascinating.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely, yeah.
Oh, wait till you see what the one that I saw down there was twice the size at 1 month younger than the horse that I am have an association with down there, and she is a beautiful monstrously sized filly. And the thing about her is that she was telling all the other horses what to do. I mean, she was running the paddock there. There was nothing that could be, the other horses were coming over and trying to get, you take down little, whatever it is, carrots or. to the babies, and they all come over, and this one, who's like the size of a full horse now, even though she's only a year and a couple months old, was down there, and like she was kind of nuzzling them away to get center, and then when she was done, she was letting them in order of the ones that she wanted to come in, which I think tells you about the personalities of these horses.
So Justify on Saturday, 13th Triple Crown winner in history, pretty much.
Yeah,
I mean Bach.
I think so. And what do you? I mean, you call all these races.
I liked them, Annie. You missed the fact that my Kentucky Derby pick Mendelson is just finishing now at Michigan.
Oh, that was just absolutely awful. And was he an outside chance
absolutely
kind of horse?
Awful.
But yeah, you liked him.
I'm surprised Roe even gave me much money to come back down here.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people were hot on Mendelson.
Yeah,
and. This is interesting, though. Now, there are 10 horses in this race, which is a little more than the Belmont Field normally gets. You know, it's around there. And, there were 20, essentially, in the Kentucky Derby. And then what were there?
Down
13,
to,
well, I think, in the Preakness?
And another sloppy track, too. I wonder if we'll have an off track. It's been sloppy in Churchill Downs. It was sloppy at Pimlico and foggy.
And now they're predicting there could be inclement weather for the Belmont.
You know, if you're rooting for Justify, that's one thing. But talking about betting, if you want to bet against Justify, one little stat. 10 of the last 18 Belmont Stakes winners had not run a race in the 5 weeks in between the Derby and the Belmont. So maybe that bodes well. Perhaps for a horse like Vino Rosso, Hofburg, Noble Lindy fits that bill. If you're looking for an upset.
Those were all horses that ran in the Kentucky Derby.
Had a bit of a rest.
The thing about horse racing is that a horse generally gets about 3 to 4 weeks between races, depending on how the horse comes out. 3 weeks is about the average. Mm-hmm. A two-week rest is sort of unheard of, except around Derby time. Right. And again, these are young horses. This is their first real professional year, essentially.
And this is his sixth start on Saturday. So, still a young horse, but yet an incredibly talented horse. Mm.
So here's the one I'm going to throw out immediately, and I think a lot of people are going to go for this horse, and I throw it out without prejudice, with prejudice. I'm not sure which. I'm always confused about which one that is. Gronkowski.
I just saw his name. That's interesting. And I'm assuming he is named after the New England Patriot.
He's bought a part of that horse, too. Gronk will be there. Gronk says he will be there.
Yeah.
Bells and whistles.
Yeah.
White carnation, drinks and all.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yes. He'll get to experience what my life is like, which is you go to the track, you're all excited. You think, we got a shot. And then the next thing you know, you get the vet bill.
I would imagine it's stressful if you have a horse running. It's exciting. It's exciting?
It's very exciting. Hofburg I like a lot to be there at the end.
Me too.
And at Tenfold I also like. And people are got a little hot on this Bravazo horse. But Ron Majors will be here on Friday. We'll do the final numbers with him. And then he'll present me with a bill. And I can't. And Vino Rosso. I love the Vino Rosso guys, the guys who own that horse.
Yeah, cool.
Are a couple of business guys. They're very successful business guys. Obviously, you have to. As I learned early on in this, the fastest way to become a horse racing millionaire is start with $1 billion. And that's where these guys are. But they're a couple New York guys. And they're coming home to Belmont with their horse, the place where they used to go out and, you know, skip school and go to in the afternoon, and they learned how to handicap races, and then they became independently wealthy business guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great story. And you know, the thing about Hofbauer, he does fit that profile of having run in the Kentucky Derby, steady twice. So if you're looking for an excuse, you know, it was 27-1 in the Kentucky Derby. But, you know, ran seventh, skips the Preakness, now is going for the Test of Champions at a mile and a half. So
explain that a little bit, because that's important for people to think about. If they, a lot of people are going to be watching this because it's a Triple Crown possibility here. There's a difference between this race, the Kentucky Derby, and Pimlico and the Preakness.
Yeah, I mean, the Kentucky Derby being a mile and a quarter, then you have the Preakness Stakes, the second leg of the Triple Crown. It's run at Pimlico. It's at a mile and 3/16. Final leg of the Triple Crown is called the Test of Champions at Belmont Park. A mile and a half. So it's not a distance you see so often in American thoroughbred racing. So it really takes an ultimate test of stamina, breeding. And you have to.
That's
be up
why
to the
these
desk.
Horses
and
are so special.
Yeah, and that's why American Pharoah was the 12th Triple Crown winner.
Right,
when you go back.
It's almost an impossibility, and that's why you should always take, despite what I just said about Gronkowski, who's right now 12-1, and the money will probably go down on Gronkowski because people will bet Gronkowski because of Gronkowski.
Yep, sure, Gronk.
But always put a couple bucks, do a $2 bet or $5 bet, whatever you want, to win. On the, there will be some 50-1 shots here. Free Drop Billy will probably go off at 50-1. Noble Indy might. Restoring Hope might. Those, you'll see them on the board. Bet the long shots because they come in
yeah,
the Belmont.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The length of the race is the factor there.
It separates them all out. And sometimes they do have distance horses in there that they know are just going to be there. They're going to rate, as they say. They're going to stay right behind the pack. And then they charge at the end when everybody else loses gas. But I truly believe in this horse, Justify.
No, I do too. After my my Derby pick, I like Justify. I said, you know what? I said I'm not opposing him in the Preakness, and he wins. And I'm going to be rooting for him in the Belmont. But like Rose said, perhaps a horse like Hofberg and Vino Rosso, and try to make an exact.
I would do a trifecta 1-2-3, and I'd box it with Justify, Hofberg, and Vino Rosso.
Yep, that's my bet.
And you're probably going to get, you're not going to make a ton of money on that, but it's a fun one. And then if you want to do something really really ridiculous, and Ron will explain all this on Friday. You do a Superfecta box for 10 cents, costs you $2.40, $2.40 for a 10-cent super box, and then you throw in these long shots.
Sure, absolutely. And it's fun, and I hope fans, row, of course, maybe Anna, you'll come out to the track. Arlington, we have a big VIP Belmont bash.
Love
so it's fun. I mean, the White Carnation.
And how do people get to that?
Well, just go to arlingtonpark.com, you get your tickets, come in, and again, the White Carnation is the official drink of the race.
What's the White Carnation?
Vodka, peach schnapps, a little orange juice, club soda, some cream.
Refreshing.
So you might prefer that to the mint julep. But
I know. It's somehow more sweet but less disgusting than the mint julep. I don't know why.
I
love the bourbon, but I just know that there's something about the mint julep.
Too much mint sometimes.
It just doesn't quite work for me.
And, Ro, you can still wear your fascinators to Arlington for
the
Belmont.
I love the fascinators.
Because we had this long discussion with Richard Roper.
I have a fascinator, and I was wearing it. It looks like a flying disc on my forehead. All right. Thank you so much, John Dooley. The great Dooley, track announcer at Arlington Park, among other great tracks in the United States of America.
Nice to see you, John.
Thank you.
All right. We've got Judy Pilak telling us what's coming up at the top of the hour. Rogan Show with Anna DeVlantis here on 720 WGN.
And it's just after 5 o'clock on this Wednesday, but why does it still feel like it should be Friday by now?
Because it's your birthday, Ro.
Well, yeah, we can't wish it away. It's your birthday. But you celebrate the birthday the whole week, right? Is that what you do?
Well,
is that the rule?
I'm not intending to celebrate the birthday the whole week, but it's just working out that way based on the festival proceedings.
That's how it is. Even if you don't want to, it's not like you can choose to anymore because you have people call you and they're like, hey, reservations, 3 days from your birthday, be there.
Right, so it turns out.
Wow, you guys are just so popular.
I'm shocked to hear that now no one's doing that for Judy.
There's a family dinner. There's like a friend dinner, a work dinner.
Judy just tells people, you will be at my birthday party, and right. here's where it is. And, then they, and you're going to pay.
Yeah, we don't go out for my birthday.
Right.
Oh, wait, that's right. We get a private chef in at your house. Yeah.
That's right. That's really we good. Did that for your birthday, yeah. didn't we?
And why not?
It's true. Why not? It was that. That was a way to celebrate Judy. I think I threw Judy the nicest birthday party
you know
she's
what?
Had
that,
in a decade.
Really, that was what,
great.
Two, three. Yeah, it was a while ago.
And it was
that,
2 years ago.
Yeah, that's what you do. You do it so well that I don't even care about the next birthday.
Right. Maybe we'll have to do that for the every 2 years. We'll have to do that.
Yeah,
for Judy.
Yeah, something big so I can last another year.
So you had the family last night.
Yeah, part family. It's there's just a couple things that tonight's going to be very low key, and then tomorrow night we're going out as a show, and then Saturday night, my lifelong best friend has a birthday a couple days away from me, mm-hmm. and so that's going to be halfway in between, and we'll celebrate.
Oh, that's boys' night out, huh? Saturday, look out.
No, this will be good. Where are you
actually,
going?
Actually, no, we're a couple of middle-aged men. And
you're brunching hard then napping in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna
all today.
I think. What do you think? Should we have a glass of wine? Do you want to split it? I love to get the white because the red gives me acid reflux. I mean, that's kind of where we're heading now.
Yeah. Well, still have fun.
I've got. Wait, hold on. I need to. Do you want to split a Lipitor?
Can we mix this with our medication?
I know. Well, honest to God. Oh, you know,
really
go ahead.
Up.
That hurts. That hurts. Because it's like I'm kind of at that point now where like I'm feeling a little fragile, I think, on this particular birthday because of that. Oh. Like, I'm like, I don't know. It's
that's what 60
alone.
Does to you. Do you think you'll last
okay.
till 11?
So
or?
Can I just say, oh, you're funny. I guess earlier in the newsroom, as they were planning they do something for the birthdays here. Anybody has a birthday at WGN because it's a people place.
It is. It's very nice how they remember everybody.
They do something. And so they went in. I wasn't in at work yet. And apparently one of the people asked Violetta, how old is Ro?
I was
today?
Like.
And your answer was?
I was like, I don't know, like 60?
Yeah, there you go.
That's on my
Ouch.
Birthday. I got all these texts. Happy 30th.
Ouch. I was just rounding
up. I am
up.
Not 60. I'm not even. I'm all right. It starts with a 5, but I'm nowhere near the 6.
You're closer to the 50 than the 60.
Right.
And they were like, really? I don't think so. I'm like, yeah, he looks really good for 60. He's great.
Oh, she said God. That to me, and I wanted to slap her.
Thank you.
I did. I
Thank
almost
you.
Did. In my head, I did.
Yeah.
Because that made me like 70. Like, how old does she think I am?
No.
Well, she's, I don't know. Wait till you turn 30. I can't wait for you to turn 30.
No. Yeah.
Well, you're 12.
I'm going to rent a balloon. I'm going to rent one of those planes that has a banner.
Violetta is 30. 30. Yeah. Flying around downtown.
But when she's 28,
on the beach.
We'll do that.
Right. Halfway to 60.
Maybe a billboard campaign when you're on the Kennedy or something.
That'd be great.
You know, the digital billboards that flash up.
Uh-huh.
Happy 40th, Violetta.
Yeah, we could say, hey, her birthday's as long as the delay on the Kennedy. Oh, yeah, I got some ideas.
Why would you guys That's try good. To ruin someone's birthday?
Yeah, you called us old.
Because you called me 60.
Did you get the ARP yet or no?
Well, you get that at 50, don't you? Which just seems a little early, but that does happen.
You're 1 year away from the Dunkin' Donuts.
All I want to say is I'm still in, as they like to write in all the trade magazines, I'm still in the age demographic most favorably viewed by the advertising industry, 25 to 54-year-olds. I'm still in that.
Still solidly in that.
That's a lofty goal.
For another 364 days.
Okay.
Okay.
Celebrate.
Happy birthday. Let's all
God,
celebrate.
Thanks.
You do not look a day older over how old you are, which I won't say on the air.
He already said it.
54.
Oh, did you? Okay, 54. Yeah. You seemed a little hesitant earlier to say your age.
No. Yeah.
You look pretty good for 54.
Right,
since
thanks.
It's the show going out tomorrow, is Boris going to come out for the show as well?
Oh, that'd be fun.
You know?
Huh. If we go to Concrete Cowboy after dinner, he'll be there.
I don't know if we can handle
Concrete
that.
Cowboy.
After dinner, what time will that be?
Well, that's what
really,
that's
Boris. Time.
Boris gets up at 9 at night.
Get out to the club by 10:30.
And then what we do is you call Ro after he's already in bed after midnight and say, "Are you going to come out? You know, we'd like
Violetta's specialty."
Yeah, that's what you do.
Calling people
and then keep
Concrete
calling them.
Cowboy.
Ah! telling you, gets people going. It's a great advertisement.
All right, we have got to. Like,
we've
got to
get to
the top.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Hold on. So what's going on there?
Number five.
Damn, so old.
Are you pressing the right buttons over there?
I've got the shakes. I've got to, I don't know, I'm seeing, I when I watch television now, all of the pharmaceutical company commercials apply to me. It's I feel like I've got that right now. I'm all of a sudden I'm having visions of other people walking into a room.
Or when you're surfing online now, those are the types of ads that follow you.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, gee, do they know I'm only 54?
do I have Crohn's disease? Oh no, that's a side effect of whatever it is I'm taking. All right, hold on a second. Here's the deal. Paul Ryan, you know him, he's the Speaker of the House, but he's not running for re-election.
No.
He is agreeing with Trey Gowdy, who is committee chairman, who is also not running for re-election. These are Republicans, that the president is wrong about that whole thing, that the FBI was spying on his campaign. They were actually just doing an investigation the way you would want the FBI to do it.
I have seen no evidence to the contrary of the initial assessment that Chairman Gowdy has made. But I want to make sure that we run every lead down and make sure we get final answers to these questions. I think Chairman Gowdy's initial assessment is accurate. But we have some more digging to do.
Oh, really?
So it's sort of a,
really?
It's a little more couched than I thought.
Yeah, well, that's a lifeline. That's because he doesn't want to say the president is totally wrong about this, even there isn't any evidence that the president is right about it. And they've all seen the evidence now, and they're all saying, well, they get it, but they don't want to. They're afraid to contradict the president's wackiness. And he is being wacky about it. This is a conspiracy theory. And I don't know if he believes it or he's doing it because it whips up his base. I don't know. I can't crawl into his head. I can't get past the hair. But I'm telling you, that they see it, they know it, that it was, they weren't putting spies in the campaign. They went after Papadopoulos and this other guy because they've been courted by the Russians. And they're like, hey, what's going on here?
And we just saw Papadopoulos earlier today.
He walked by our studio.
And I ran after him.
Because his wife is on television begging for a pardon by Donald Trump before he gets sentenced, after he pled guilty to lying about his contacts with the Russians. I mean, the Russians were trying to contact these people. Isn't it worthwhile to investigate that? If it were happening, I would like to know. Were they trying to contact anybody else? Just anybody they were trying to contact. If they're getting in the way, that's what we have them for. That doesn't seem unreasonable. Don't make me crazy on my birthday.
Number four.
Oh, you're going to do it, aren't you?
Uh-oh. What's next?
All right. Stephen Colbert had Bill Clinton on last night. I am so sick and tired of Bill Clinton, too. Why is he out there trying to sell this book with James Patterson? It's
seems
a
like
novel.
An odd project, yeah.
It's a fiction book.
The Missing President.
Yeah, about a kidnapping of a president or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what are you doing? Sit down. Go away. You're making this worse.
I didn't like this one because it started with an assertion that basically I had never apologized, as if I had never tried to come to grips with it, and as if there had been no attempt to hold me accountable, which anybody who lived through that and knew the facts knew wasn't so. Nonetheless, I realized, hey, there are a lot of people that don't have any memory of that, and all they saw was me mad, and I seemed to be tone deaf, to put it mildly. Mm-hmm. So last night when I was at my event, I asked to say something about it because I think it's important. People need to know. I apologize. I meant it then. I mean it now. I've lived with the consequences, and I still support Me Too, and I think we all need to keep trying to be doing better.
Now, he is like 70, right?
He's older than Roe. We can confirm
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. He is older
by
than
a lot.
Yeah. He is like 70, yes. Yeah. But you know what? There's still a lot of gas in the tank. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can rev those engines. Now, some of it is pharmaceutical, but I can rev those engines.
Okay.
It's called blue gasoline. I'm sick and tired of Bill Clinton and would like him to go away. He's not helping. He's not helping here. He's drawing more fire. He's creating. And it's, you know, Bill Clinton was the Donald Trump of his day. He just made everything about himself and he drew all this attention to him no matter what it was he was doing. And he was a far more presidential figure in terms of like behaving like a president. When, you know, not, of course, alone with the interns in the Oval Office.
Other than that one thing.
Other than that thing. And I'm sure a number of other things. But at least, you know, he acted like a president. He was, he did have a very, I think a very high, a good moment in his, the highlight, I think, of his presidency in terms of acting presidential was at the, in the aftermath of the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, his speech there. Around the rubble of it, after you know, so many people had been lost in that terrorist act, a domestic terrorist act, that he was that was really, you know, a moment of trying to heal the country. That was a great thing. I don't know how President Trump will react when something like that happens in America. You've already kind of see with the, you know, with the Las Vegas thing. There isn't a that he doesn't have that empathy thing. He's just not, you know, particularly good at doing that piece. But
anyway, he got the do-over of, after bungling the other interview where he basically blamed everyone but himself.
Yeah.
I'm done promoting a lot of women, and I've, you know, all that stuff.
I want to know why James Patterson wrote a book with him. That's what I, what does James Patterson need him for? All right. Do you mind if I get to your three, your two, and your
let's
one? But first, here is Judy telling us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour. All right, we got your top five of five continuing here. We're up to
number three.
Miss America Kara Mund hasn't put on a swimsuit since winning the crown in September. She told TMZ that proves the swimsuit competition is no longer. She approves that the swimsuit competition has been nixed here. The Miss America organization announced it was going to do away with all the physical stuff surrounding the Miss America.
Right.
Instead of focusing on the outer beauty, we're focusing on the inner. And we will still be having the evening gown portion of competition. It's just up to the contestant or the candidate what they want to wear. So if they want to wear a shorter dress, that's fine, like a cocktail dress. If they want to wear a pantsuit, that's fine. If they want to wear a jumper, whatever it is that makes them feel comfortable, because at the end of the day, you know, your job as Miss America is to travel across the nation. It's to talk to kids in elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, colleges. It's visiting children's hospitals. And so to do all of that, you don't need to wear a swimsuit.
Okay. What about like a business suit? Shouldn't they have like a daytime and nighttime, like if you're going to a formal and then an informal if you want to do it?
I think
that
you're
way
allowed to wear whatever you feel most confident in, is the way Gretchen Carlson, who's the new head of the pageant, former Miss America herself, 1989, is now saying that it's not a pageant anymore, it's a competition. And we'll talk about achievements and goals and talent.
Well, if it's a competition, maybe they do want to get in their swimsuits and actually win this thing.
She is quite an advocate for a womanhood in America.
Violetta, you know what, though? I agree. I want to see them in their swimsuits.
What are you talking about?
I mean, I like it, too.
Right, save it. We'll do it right after the top five at five. We'll pick this up. Don't worry. I'll play it again. Get everybody all hot and bothered and excited. And
is that because we're women?
Good one. Lucky it's your birthday.
Number two.
I don't know. Bad timing here. Make some brunch reservations and raise your Cosmo.
Oh, gee.
Sex and the City. What is happening to Sex and the City here? Oh, this is the 20th anniversary of Sex and the City. This is the 20th anniversary. 20 years ago.
How is that possible?
Oh, my God.
That's when Cosmos became really popular.
Violetta was 12 when it came out.
Mm-hmm. What? I was not 12. I was just I was very young.
I'm not good at math.
I am someone who is looking for love. Real love. Ridiculous. Inconvenient. Consuming. Can't live without each other love. And I don't think that love is here in this expensive suite in this lovely hotel in Paris.
There you go. It was a very well written show.
It was. I liked that show at the time.
Yeah. When you watch it now,
it's, I don't know,
has
if it
not
holds.
Held up
no.
as well.
I just,
what?
I yes. don't think so.
It's great.
It's still not, really?
I don't think it's. I don't think it really. It's a little too much caught in the time. You know what's really interesting? When you watch things like Seinfeld, mm-hmm. more timeless. Friends, even the fashion of Friends was kind of timeless. Because it wasn't really caught up in you know, that it's so much in the moment. The Cosmopolitan alone gives it away.
I guess in that sense you're right, but I think just the relationship stuff has never changed.
No, that's true. That's true. That's why that's and the acting was quite good.
Mm, so good.
Yeah. In it, in a lot of, and now that we learned that they all hated each other, it's really good. I think. And Kim Cattrall hated them all, and they all hated her.
And Cynthia Nixon is running for governor of
right.
New York,
and she seems like she was a real pain to be around during that as well. And then the other two were like, "We've got other projects, man. I don't have time for this."
Yeah. It's like the Spice Girls; they can never get Posh Spice to agree.
Yeah. All right, and finally,
number one.
AJ Calloway from Extra was able to snag Kim Kardashian on a red carpet to ask her about her meeting with Donald Trump.
Was that the first time meeting?
I had met him before mm-hmm. he was president, you know, years ago. And honestly, I feel really hopeful. I feel like what I had to say hopefully was impactful. I think everyone definitely heard me. You know, I came in with a very specific person in mind, Alice Johnson, who I found her case just on social media, and it really struck a chord with me. And so, but there's so many other people like Alice, you know. So there's a few people that we really discussed and that I hope that, you know, change is starting.
This really is the Facebook president. You get to see something on Facebook, then you get to go meet with him and go, "Did you see this on Facebook? Oh, this is really awful what happened to this lady." And then today the president pardons her. Commutes her sentence.
Right, commutes her sentence to time served because she was going to serve the rest of her life.
Because she's on Facebook. Oh, my God.
Well, you wonder if this will lead to any commutations for people who don't have celebrities or personal.
You get a commutation, and you get a commutation.
Right.
And you.
But- All right, wait, hold on. Pamela Anderson was also at this event, and TMZ asked her this.
Pamela, do you think you'll ever ask Donald Trump to pardon Julian Assange, given his pardoning power he's been exercising?
I think that'd be the smartest move.
Wouldn't it?
Yes. Please.
Wait, is Pamela Anderson seeing Julian Assange? Has
no.
that been confirmed?
No, she's not seeing him. She was... No. She said she was introduced to him. And
the next great sex tape, Julian Assange and Pam Anderson.
Oh, gosh.
A wiki porn. I got a whole new website, people.
Got some new things to leak.
He does know how to leak it.
He gets a lot of exposure. You're right.
I got to say that I am a connoisseur. I'm an expert. And just for research purposes, I've seen many of the celebrity tapes that
sure.
have come out just
mm-hmm.
so I can weigh in on their contents. And she's not the star of that tape.
Oh, gee.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take your word
Tommy
for
Lee.
It.
Tommy Lee. Oh. Mm. Tommy Lee does, he does a magic trick. I've never seen anything quite like it.
Gee.
With the boat horn, and it's a whole thing. Oh, my God.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. She didn't seem all that interested. I mean, and I don't know. I'm not a woman, so I don't really get this, but I would have, like, jumped off the boat is what I would have
Somebody
done.
Somebody help! What is that?
Call 911! Oh, my God! All right.
So you're saying that one has held up over time.
Yeah. Well, that's a classic. That's an instant classic. She does not get a... I've noticed that the performances on most of these tapes are not bad. Ray J was a spirited young man, as I seem to recall.
A lot of times they don't know they're being filmed, so they, you know, they don't give it all. That's a little,
yeah,
a little awkward.
I'm a performance sort of thing. Anyway, you know what? Let's move on.
The top five at five.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, and my friends,
yes,
Violetta and Judy, have just walked their way into something here I'm not quite sure what to do with.
And they agree with each other on this one, which I'm a bit surprised by.
Yeah, me too.
Hashtag, would you like me to start?
Hashtag me too. All right, let me yeah, set it back up, please.
Hashtag me too.
Let me
that's funny.
Set, thank you. That's what I get paid for. Here is the question on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
The Miss America competition. Now, Gretchen Carlson has become, she's not like the CEO of Miss America, but she's sort of the face of it now.
She's the chairwoman of the competition. Very senior.
And Gretchen Carlson used to be on Fox News Channel. She was on CBS, right? And then mm-hmm. Fox News Channel. She was one of the first complainants about sexual harassment and in bad behavior at Fox News Channel.
Become a very outspoken advocate and activist, actually, about these types of issues.
Written a bunch of books. She is a former Miss America herself.
She's showing up in Congress trying to introduce legislation.
So she comes out and says, listen, we're going to change the Miss America, and we're taking swimsuits out. And we're going to put there's going to be a competition which women can wear whatever they feel most comfortable in.
Whatever they want, whatever makes them feel to be their best self.
Right. And
it's not a pageant anymore.
Then Violetta, I hope I am quoting you warmly and accurately. Violetta said, well, maybe some of them should just wear a swimsuit so they can win this competition. And then Judy said, I'm going to miss the swimsuits. Now, let's go back to this. What? I mean, Kev, help me out here.
I'm lost.
Kev, you're going to go to Kev on this?
I am.
No, I've been thinking for the last 15 minutes after I heard both of them say, I'm like,
What are we supposed to do here, guys?
It's a beauty pageant. Yeah, but it is what it is. If it's not going to be a beauty pageant anymore, okay.
Okay, but well, if it's a competition.
I like the beauty pageant.
Okay, but even if it is a competition, if we're moving to that realm, how do you win something? You got to be competitive. So if you look good in a bathing suit.
Yeah, but isn't it more than physical appearance?
It is. But it's about your achievements.
It's whatever it takes to win. And if winning is.
I got you.
If you can wear whatever and maybe you feel most comfortable in a swimsuit. And if you look like most of those girls, why wouldn't you feel very comfortable in a swimsuit?
Yeah, but what if other girls are looking up to them being like, oh, darn, I can never be like them. And then they're
sad.
No
one's looking up to them.
Isn't that how, like. Look at this. I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Listen,
that's why I'm saying you're going to go to Kevin on.
You know what though? If there's a woman who's in a swimsuit and she looks pretty darn good, fine. Mm-hmm. And then there's another woman who's up there, you know, singing fabulously. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I'm going to go with the singer. Because that's so much better.
This is why I'm lost, because for so many years, women were like, oh, all these models are Photoshopped. That's an unrealistic standard for
that's
women.
That's why like the beauty pageants. They can't do it. I always enjoyed seeing
the pageants.
Yeah, but
they're still hot.
Yeah, right.
But they're not, they're not mocked up. Like, you look in the fashion magazines. Are you kidding me? They are totally.
You know that it's real because they're sitting
right in front of you.
Yes, it's
real, so I always appreciated that.
Did anyone ever feel slightly uncomfortable about the evaluation of women's body parts, mostly by men judges who some of them looked a little bit, I don't know, a little slimy? I mean,
oh, well, you got
to come on. It always
Lorenzo
felt a
Lamas
little,
is our judge.
Yes,
tonight.
It'd be like, I'd like to go back and look at the judges and just, that part of it sort of, you know, it felt like it had its place in time.
You knew what you're signing up for. I don't know how someone could feel uncomfortable. Yeah, I probably wouldn't feel comfortable walking across the stage in a bikini, but they knew that was coming. Like, they knew they were going to do that before.
But isn't it more so setting the example for, like, other women and younger girls out there? Isn't that the whole thing?
I think it's a holistic view. I mean, it's not just a competition on the swimsuit. There's plenty of other aspects to that competition.
Yeah, xylophone.
Body is one of them.
Baton twirling.
Yodeling.
Yodeling. Yeah, that's a big one.
Honest to God, when we were kids, you know, back when Judy and I were kids, and it was in black and white.
And it was like the only thing on TV.
Yeah,
of
that's true.
You watched it.
That's true. It was as big as the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And Burt Parks, this really creepy old man, would come out and sing a song and lead them all in their swimsuits down the boardwalk in Atlantic City. And the whole damn thing was creepy. Even as a kid, I realized it was creepy. But then they would get up and they would like play the accordion or the xylophone.
Right. Some people were begging for a talent.
Yeah.
You know, they're sort of like,
One lady played the tambourine.
And it was always hilarious because many times they flubbed that question.
Right.
Yes.
And remember the Miss South Carolina that one year famously just sort of did a word salad?
Recent.
Yeah.
But the best thing years ago
now,
was
now,
we all
we gotta
had
be
our
careful.
Favorite.
We got to be careful here because there was a difference, though. Because the Miss America was always a more... you know, it was about scholarships, and they wanted actual talent, and they did ask them a question, and the women in that seemed to be more put together than the Miss USA pageant, which was eventually bought by Donald Trump, especially after Trump bought it, it turned into just, you know, how hot do you look in the bathing suit, and shut up, honey, just keep walking in the bathing suit.
But the Miss America thing also would bill itself as one of the largest providers of scholarships to women in the world, and when journalists started to look into that, it didn't always hold up to the light, and they didn't reveal the records, and they would brag about a certain number, and it turned out to be nowhere near that number. And the whole reason Gretchen Carlson took over is because the senior leadership, the CEO, the president, and the chairman of the board were found to be emailing each other with misogynistic emails, mocking the women for their weight, calling them the C word, and doing all these horrible things. At some point, it almost feels like it has outlived its place. And I don't know. I don't know how it morphs into this new thing and suddenly is going to be really acceptable and okay. And I don't.
Yeah, no, it's done. There's no place for that anymore. I'm just saying I will miss it. And I did.
Now you're backtracking.
No,
Judy.
I'm not backtracking. I said I will miss the swimsuits because it was part of a different era and it was a different show. It was a beauty pageant. It wasn't a competition. It wasn't about your, you know, what you could do best, yodel, whatever. It was a beauty pageant.
I only believe in inner
beauty,
Judy.
And strictly, that's what we went on. And really, we had so much fun at my house picking the winner.
I think we should have bet money on it. They should have.
I think we did,
and
too,
a little
actually,
gambling
the
in
day.
It.
They should have all the contestants do, or the finalists, what is it, like down 10 or 7 or whatever it is, and then those people all have to be an HR director for 5 minutes and interview somebody else and go through and then tell them whether they can or cannot get the job. Just see what their skills are at getting mad at you. That's what I'd like to
say. It's just, how far is the Me Too movement going to go, right? I mean, this pendulum is swinging.
I'll tell you how far, until it's right.
Well, so what? No more magazines, no more magazines with swimsuits, no more, you know, I mean, there's so many things that I guess are subjecting women, but if women are choosing to be subjected...
But that's what's happening. Women are the ones pushing the movement now, so it's whatever
the
women
decide. Not the
women
that are in the competition.
Well, that's why it's happening, because the women are saying no more.
Because they don't know what they want.
Miss USA ain't going to change. Miss USA is going to go totally the other way.
I don't know if I've ever watched that one.
And
really.
The Miss USA is going, Miss USA was already beating them in the ratings. I think it will swallow them a whole now in the ratings. Because it's television and people want to see these things. If you're really all that interested in the whole idea of this kind of intellectual empowerment.
But what if not all women want that?
Well, hold on. Let me just finish my thought. Is this, as a television show, you're probably going to be watching Netflix or something else. Right, you're gonna be maybe TED Talks on your digital over the top thing. Do you get the TED Talk thing where you get to go I'll watch a TED Talk. It would never happen to me, but if it were to happen to me, that's what I'd be interested in. I think that still women in swimsuits and all the kind of stupidity that happens around, especially the Miss USA pageant, that is a more that's a greater aggregator of television audience than will be some sort of super serious kind of thing. Although, I will say this. You know what one of the top-rated things of the year has become in the what they call the summer season is the Scripps Spelling Bee. But that's because you get to see a bunch of kids whose names you cannot spell.
Spell words
things
you never
are,
could pronounce.
Right.
Even pronounce.
So you got that going for you. But that's kind of fun. But it's a weird, because now you got competitions where, you know, people are running, you know, on a bridge and they're getting hit by a gigantic
like Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
You've got America's Got Talent. You've got dance competitions. You've got American Idol. There are so many things for you to show what you can do in a competition that I don't know if you eliminate the swimsuit and you. What does this become? I just don't know how you morph it into something that has a meaning anymore.
All right. Well, all I'm going to say is I don't think it's going to work for them. And I don't think it's real. I think the era of this whole thing is probably beside us, except for the Miss USA. And they'll continue that. I think Fox just cut a deal for like 10 years for Miss USA.
I heard that too. Yeah, there was some new deal cut.
And who's got Miss America? Is it still CBS? Is it Burt Park still alive?
I don't know. don't think so. It's a
dead. They just roll out a Burt Parks' casket, and then they all sing to the thing. I don't understand. I don't. You know what? We're all sort of stupefied and amazed by Violetta in this, who wants to take us in a different, totally different direction here, mm-hmm. which is what's. But she asks an excellent question though in the real world, which is, are the you know who wore it better in U.S. Weekly, as they call it, because it's a very important national periodical, mm-hmm. Is who wore it better going to have to go away because it's judging people on how they're wearing clothes? I ask you. You people all read Us Weekly.
I think it's like supply and demand. It'll ferret itself out. It'll be, you know, Violetta was asking, what about the women who want to do it?
Yeah.
There will still, you know, that's the group that's going to decide. The group that it's happening to, the Me Too, I think it'll, you know.
Does anybody get the irony of the fact that the whole era that we're in right now, you've got Me Too and you got the Harvey Weinstein accusers and all of that. You got mm-hmm. all that going on. But the person who has the most amount of political leverage right now in America is a porn star.
Coming to Chicago this month.
Oh, that's right.
Catch your tickets.
I think she's here. Isn't she here this week?
14th to the 16th.
Oh.
As long as it was her choice.
Happy birthday, Ro.
I mean, but think about that. That's kind of where we are. All right. Do we have Judy telling us what's coming up at the top of the hour? Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, we got a lot to get to here.
Yes, we do.
And this is I have spent today being mm-hmm. fairly hysterical about things.
Yeah.
Started off my first hour of the program. I think I laughed. I cried. Mm-hmm. I ordered out.
And they say, you know, that what they say about your birthday, however you are on your birthday is how you're going to be all year through.
It's great.
Brace ourselves.
A story about local politics and the national politics, it drove me kind of crazy. And I just got a little over the edge. And now I want to turn it around and do a good story, a positive story, something that where the people who are trying to do make us better, make the country better, make Chicago better, are doing the right thing. Because all day it's been about people trying to do the wrong thing, except for the Miss America pageant. Mm-hmm. Listen to the podcast. You'll understand what I'm talking about. Rush University has received, listen to this, a $42 million grant from the Wounded Warrior Project to expand the care for veterans and their families. Specifically, mental health care for veterans and their families. And we have two of the clinicians who are here with us right now. Michael Brennan and Rebecca Van Horn have joined us. And thank you both for being here.
Thanks
for having us. This $42 million, now that sounds like a lot of money. And it is. Because it is a lot of money. But what you're trying to do is to meet the needs, a pretty gigantic need in this community. There's 9 million people that live in the Chicago metropolitan area.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of veterans.
There's, you know, hundreds of thousands of veterans. And I think what the interesting thing about this is that issues of PTSD and other neurological and psychological effects of things that happen to folks who have been in combat or near combat, or even in training in some cases, they're lifelong. They can be lifelong struggles, right?
Absolutely.
And so, isn't that that need may never go away for them or their families?
Absolutely possible. And I think, you know, one of the things that this gift provides us is an opportunity to try to meet more patients and bring that care to more patients.
One of the things you wonder is with so many returning veterans, that the percentage of them that actually do have some symptoms of PTSD, and then the ones who actually, the percentage of that actually will seek help. Because I would imagine there's quite a disparity there.
Yeah, there is. And so this is Mike Brennan. Just percentage-wise, roughly 10-23% of veterans that have deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan. So roughly, you know, that number is 3 million, but 10-23% of that will have been diagnosed with PTSD or suffer from PTSD.
Mm-hmm. And that is consistent with previous conflicts, or do we know? How do we compare those?
So not consistent. Actually, those who served during Vietnam, we think about 30% of individuals who served suffer from PTSD.
Much higher.
And then the Gulf War, about 10%.
Mm. Okay. So the Gulf War being in the early 90s.
Early 90s, first Gulf War.
Okay.
Yes.
What do you think the disparity is there between the between those two kinds of conflicts, the Vietnam conflict versus the Persian versus, well, not Gulf War, because that sort of lives on its own for its own dynamics because it was so the smaller number of people involved in it and all of that. But in terms of Iraq War, Afghanistan, what do you think the difference is?
Well, there are a lot of different things. I mean, one of them, I think, is just the nature of the actual conflict and the type of warfare. I think also the climate of the country at the time that people came back. And probably more than anything is access to care. You know, one of the things that's, even though that there are so many people still don't have access to care, it's improved. And I think our general awareness of mental health issues and the importance of seeking treatment and actually the sort of removing of the stigma when people do come home and are suffering and develop symptoms and need to seek care, that actually has improved significantly.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off of that, so if you take a look at the conflict over the last 15 years, we just ended that conflict, right, in 2015. And so,
well, the Iraq side, absolutely.
So at least major combat operations, still definitely people overseas.
I just want to make that point too, that there are a lot of conflicts we don't hear about that are going on overseas. We've turned into a special forces military, expeditionary forces that are in Africa and Asia and other places around the world that you know, where these smaller bands, smaller groups of men and women are involved in this, but it's still bloody and impacting conflict that these people are going through.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to go off of what Rebecca had said, just in terms of Vietnam vets, they're still coming in to services today for the first time, right? And so we, you know, given that some of the, you know, major combat operations have decreased, I think that number is going to continue to grow.
Well, let's talk about that Vietnam thing. That's interesting. Yeah. What brings people in for the first time now, 40 years after the conflict, 45 years after the conflict?
So there are a couple of things. I mean, one, if you think about the age of this group of individuals, right, many of them now, you know, if they were able to come home and actually reintegrate and find work and have families, many of them are now retiring. So there's sort of a major shift in terms of place in life, and I think they're more isolated. Maybe they have friends and family who are, you know, developing illness. Maybe some of them have died. Maybe many of them probably have chronic illnesses themselves and are suffering. And I think
so they're in a more vulnerable place. And
exactly.
So that vulnerability is leading up to a recollection or at least an impact of things that they were able to otherwise tap down.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a fascinating
thing. It is. You know, the veterans I know, and I would think as a group or class, they tend to be strong, independent people who are more likely to help others than ask for assistance for themselves. And speaking anecdotally there, but I think it really does classify that group of people. So come forward to ask for help, do you find it's a family member who gives them a nudge and that we should all, as family members and friends, kind of be aware, try to direct them now that there are services in our community?
Absolutely. I think many times it is a family member, a spouse, a partner, a parent, a child, sibling who comes forward and says, I've been noticing that this is a problem. One of the things we do at the Road Home Program is we actually treat families. Oftentimes the way we get vets in to seek care in our outpatient program is through a family member who comes and seeks services first.
All right. So if people want to get involved in this and want to take advantage of this expanding program, what do they do?
When you mean patients?
Well,
people can go to our website, roadhomeprogram.org. They can also go to the Wounded Warrior Project website and look into the Warrior Care Network, which is the part of Wounded Warrior Project that the Road Home Program is associated with. And, you know, they can find us on social media. Also, we have a developing partnership with the VA. Many of them can reach out to the VA and find referrals through that avenue.
All right, Rebecca Michael, thank you so much for what you do. Thank you for being here.
Thanks
Appreciate
for having
it.
Us.